Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ask any parent or teacher, and that parent or teacher will confirm the truth of Proverbs 22:15, that foolishness or folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Parents and teachers, to some degree, tolerate a level of chaos with children. And the more children you have, probably the more chaos there is. But we do expect these children to grow up. We have a hope that children will mature and learn self-control. In the mid-1980s, Robert Fulghum authored a bestseller book called All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Maybe some of you can remember kindergarten. We have a kindergarten teacher in our church, so if you don't remember what that's like, you can ask Kate. She'll tell you what kindergartners are like. But these are some of the things he learned in kindergarten. Don't hit people. Don't take things that are not yours. Play fair. Put things back where you found them. And on they go. Many of the insights I discovered were derived from the Ten Commandments. Don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. And in turn, the Ten Commandments are summarized in two. And they are: love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we did that, imagine what society would be like. This is the wisdom of God. And yet, too often, we find ourselves acting unwisely. We wander from the path of wisdom, and we find trouble. And so as we hear the preacher in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, I want you to consider today, are you wise or are you playing the fool? And this is what we read, beginning in chapter 9, verse 11. The preacher says, "Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are caught in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. I've also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. There was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom might have delivered the city. Yet no one remembered the poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, or the words of the wise heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench or stink. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt, and what does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. The words of a wise man's mouth will win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobility, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth the roof sinks in, and through indolence the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Time and chance happen to all. All are snared at some evil time. Since that is so, is wisdom actually better than folly? It doesn't really matter if time and chance will overtake all of us. Does it really matter how we live? Well, the preacher says, yes, wisdom is better than folly. But wisdom is often despised. Fools tend to judge on appearance rather than substance. So he has this brief story in here of the poor man who has wisdom and insight that could have saved the city. And the Hebrew text bears out that translation, which fits with the rest of the statement. But his words were not heard. He's not remembered. He has the key to success, but he's ignored because he is poor. He's poor. He can't have anything to offer. Bias can lead to prejudice and bigotry. That's what he's highlighting. Nathanael is being introduced to Jesus. And Philip says, we've found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael infamously says, Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's like saying in Pittsburgh, deliverance is coming from Cleveland. Really? How is that possible? That's his bias. James, in James chapter 2, warns about partiality. He says, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, And a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? We'll go on to say, you've actually dishonored the poor man. Partiality is counter to loving your neighbor as yourself. Partiality cannot be squared with the wisdom of God. The Apostle Peter has to be shown in a vision not to call anyone common or unclean. So in order then to maintain distinctions or to promote distinctions of wealth or ethnicity or sex or educational attainment are all counter to the gospel. All persons are made in the image of God. All persons fell into the estate of sin and misery in Adam. And all are offered eternal life if we will but repent and believe in Jesus. So we must speak against foolish judgments based on appearance. On March 3, or on March rather 22, 1964 in St. Louis, Martin Luther King said, we must live together as brothers or perish together as fools. That's what the preacher here is observing. The distinction of wealth and poverty, the poor person is not listened to. See, fools give weight to the wrong thing. Wisdom, or rather, fools weigh wealth. They weigh, well, how many followers do you have on Instagram? They weigh skin color. They weigh military might. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And yet so often we trust in our military might. We trust in firearms. But the wisdom of the Scriptures, the wisdom of God is gentle. It is peaceable. It is heard in quietness. But too often it is overwhelmed by noise. We live in a noisy culture. I've encouraged you before. Practice some silence. If you're in your car, resist the urge to turn on the radio. Enjoy that time of silence. Everywhere we go, there's noise. People now just put in earbuds whenever they go out for a walk or to go out to run. Enjoy the silence. Listen for the Spirit. But fools tend to listen to whomever speaks the loudest. Got the biggest megaphone, you must have something valuable to say. So are you listening for wisdom? Are you seeking wisdom? It's in short supply. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment stink. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Even a little folly outweighs wisdom. And you know that. It's out of place when somebody who knows better acts like a fool. Reputations are destroyed very quickly. And unfortunately, our political landscape is in disarray. There's chaos. But this is not the only place. Think about Syria, Lebanon, Venezuela, Hong Kong. Chaos, disarray, foolishness. But here, sadly, too often the church gets caught up in it. Politics divides churches. This is not the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom is marked by peace. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And I've met recently a lot of angry Christians. Calmness overcomes. The anger of the ruler rises against you. Do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. We taught our children long ago, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pours out folly. Wisdom prepares. Fools do not, and they find trouble. And that's his discussion in verses 8, 9, and 10, and 11. There is danger in the world. The wise understand that. Fools do not. And so the fool is vindictive. The fool is short-sighted. The fool is hasty, and the fool is thoughtless. So I wondered, as any of that describe you to any degree? You see yourself in chapter 10. Are you in some way playing the fool? Verse 3 says that the fool is clearly evident. Even when he walks on the road, he lacks sense. I don't know, let your imagination play with that for a moment. He says to everyone that he is a fool. What do you picture? How does a fool behave in public? It's obvious in his speech, verses 12, 13, and 14. The lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his words are foolishness. The end is evil madness. He multiplies words. The words of the wise win favor. The words of a fool are self-destructive. Fools have nothing actually constructive to say, and yet they keep talking. Yes, it ends in madness. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinions. It's unteachable. In fact, so bad does it become that the fool is considered wise when he is silent. speech under control? How many times words invite trouble? Book of Proverbs again. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Is your speech under control? And not just oral, but written. I hope all of you have had the experience of deleting the email before you sent it. You kind of vent it, and then you say, yeah, I'm not sending that. Or you post something on social media, and 5 seconds later you say, yeah, I'm not leaving that up, and you remove it. Our speech should be helpful, edifying, gracious. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Brothers and sisters, speak life. Speak life. The fool speaks death. As for all his talk, the fool himself is worthless. His work so wearies him, he can't do the simplest thing, which is go back to the city. The preacher back in chapter 4, verse 5, has already commented on sloth. The fool folds his hand and eats his own flesh. The fool's life is marked by sloth. And as Michael Eaton in his commentary in this passage said, it leads to a stumbling, fumbling, crumbling life. Somebody describe your life like that? Stumbling, fumbling, crumbling. He's got no plans, no goals, no motivation. He's incompetent. And his life and his house are proof. Through sloth, the roof sinks in. And through indolence, the house leaks. He simply won't work. Again, Proverbs, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. And yet the fool has an excuse. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. Ever catch yourself not doing the right thing and then excusing it? How quickly we excuse ourselves, but not the other person. See, life requires maintenance. Life requires the expenditure of labor and effort. God put Adam and Eve in a garden to tend it and to keep it. What's He given you? How's the library? How's your home? How's your business? How are the books at PNC? How are the books at Covenant Fellowship? On and on, all of us have been given areas of dominion. Are you being faithful? Or are you playing the fool? Just make one aside here. Pray for your leaders. Pray for our political leaders. Our local leadership in Wilkinsburg is in disarray. Our city council is dysfunctional. It recently censured the mayor. Not exactly sure why, but there's a rift there. So issues are not just national. There's a rift there, obviously, but it's local. That kind of rift also exists in businesses. Pray for leaders. Because it is one thing to play the fool at home. It is quite another to do it on a national stage. The consequences are much bigger. If you do it at home by yourself, you alone will bear it. But if you're in a position of responsibility and you play the fool, there are a lot of other people who will bear the consequence. Pray for your leaders. Woe indeed to the country, to the land whose king is a child. Or could say, acts like one. So perhaps in all of this, in this chapter, you see yourself. Maybe to some degree, you catch a whiff of it. You smell yourself. Like that little bit of folly, like that fly in the ointment, which causes the perfume to go rancid. Like spoiled milk. Perhaps you see yourself or you smell yourself a little bit in some way as the fool is described, his perspective and his life. So I have to ask, is that acceptable to you? Are you content with a little folly? Scripture says it makes the whole thing go bad. Little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Are you content? The little folly? Or maybe you want to change. Maybe you made a resolution, a New Year's resolution. Or maybe you're going to make a resolution right now. That'll only go so far. And we know about New Year's resolutions. True change must begin on the inside. Begins with the heart, the values, and the affections. We do what we want to do. So if you're really going to change, you got to change your affections. You have to change your desires. See, the fool of the Bible rejects God, and that's what we sang from Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He is morally deficient. This is what Jeremiah says. He's speaking on behalf of God. So the Lord is speaking through the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 4. My people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are, quote unquote, wise in doing evil. But how to do good, they know not. So the fool is thoughtless and careless and reckless. The fool is conceited and self-sufficient and unteachable. But the fool is indifferent to the things of God. Now, the fool may actually be dull or unintelligent, lacking sense, but a true fool in the biblical sense is wrong-headed. Refuses to acknowledge God, and so lives wrongly. The fool's problem is one of the heart. It's set on its own way, and so it leads to destruction and trouble and ruin. But we are in no place to look down on others. You might say, well, that's not me. We have no room to look down on others, because we all at one point were foolish. Paul says to Titus, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That is our natural state in Adam. So we needed, or perhaps still do need, a new heart. See, wisdom is not of our own doing. You can't just simply go find wisdom because you want to, or because you resolve to, or expend the effort to. We turn from foolishness to wisdom by God's grace. Because we once were foolish, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. Now that is not to say that we are merely passive. And, oh, I'm a fool because God hasn't imparted wisdom to me. No, it's not how that works. We are to seek the Lord. We are to turn from what we know to be wrong. We are to call upon Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to learn to fear the Lord, to turn from what we know to be wrong, to turn to that which we know to be right. We are to do the will of God as revealed in the Bible, and He will reveal Himself to us in our doing. That's what it means to fear the Lord, and that is the hope of all of our children as they grow up in a Christian home, that they will live into the fear of the Lord as it is being lived out in the family. So you may today need to admit your deficiencies. You might think, yeah, there's some areas in my life in which I'm playing the fool. Stop. Ask the Lord for a new heart. Ask Him to grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so you might know Him. And that starts by coming to Jesus. He says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And weariness and heavy ladenness comes from foolishness. Jesus came into the world to deliver us from foolishness. He is the wisdom of God come in the flesh. Hang on to Him. The proverb says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Walk with Jesus, the wisdom of God. stop playing the fool and walk with him. Lord God, you came into the world. Lord Jesus, second person of the Trinity, to save us from our foolishness. Adam and Eve made a foolish decision. They sinned against you, and we continue to confirm that we are children of Adam and Eve. Oh, forgive us. Forgive us for our foolishness. Give us a heart of wisdom. Oh, please, and we commit to seek you, to walk with you, that we might become wise. So, Lord Spirit, as you've brought to mind some areas of foolishness even today, we purpose in your power, Spirit, to put those off. Put to death the deeds of the flesh, that we might die more and more to unrighteousness and live more and more to righteousness. And you will get the glory, and your kingdom will come, and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.